This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who is here with me today. What's the good word, Ben?
Long time no see.
Yeah, I guess that might not be true, but yes. We won't talk about that. Today we're talking about an article that you wrote for the Chicago Reader that appeared on August 16th, 2012, and is titled, in the print edition, Prentice Preservationists Put Rahm in a Bind, and online it's called Right Where Rahm Doesn't Want to Be. In this article, you talk about the shuttered Prentice Hospital that is owned by Northwestern University and the reluctance on the part of the city of Chicago to declare it as a landmark, thereby preventing Northwestern from raising the hospital, which it wants to do.
R-A-Z.
Yes, it's already raised.
Just helping our many listeners out there.
Yes, it's not written after all. Yeah. And a lot of the article centers around the particular city body that is called the Commission on Chicago Landmarks, which has 9 members appointed by the mayor and approved by the city council. The mayor can replace only 4 per year, but they have 4-year terms. And the current commission has 4 of its commissioners who were originally appointed by the mayor and 2 who were reappointed by the mayor. And it is, you know, I'm the kind of guy that is interested in how government works or when it doesn't work, how politics is the interfering factor in that. So I thought maybe we should go through the commission and maybe expose a little bit this idea that, as you state, if the mayor doesn't want any landmark status to be created for this building, that's his wish that the people on the commission are going to carry out. And my question is, why would they do that? And who are they? And what, you know, what makes them beholden to the mayor? So I thought I'd read to you the current list of commissioners.
Go ahead. I know Raphael Leon and Jim Houlihan are on there. Who else is on there?
Okay, Raphael Leon is executive director of what used to be a quasi-governmental agency, but now a nonprofit organization called the Chicago Metropolitan Housing Development Corporation. James M. Houlihan is a former Cook County assessor. We have John Baird, chairman of the board of Baird and Warner, a 150-year-old real estate company.
You say he's 150 years old? My God, he's the oldest landmark commission member ever.
So the mayor had to reappoint him. Anita Blanchard, who is associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology at University of Chicago Medicine. Tony Hugh, a self-styled celebrity chef who runs a chain of 6 Chinese restaurants. Christopher Reed, professor emeritus of history, Roosevelt University, who specializes in Black Chicago history. Marianne Smith, former 48th Ward alderman.
Yes, Marianne.
And Ernest Wong, a landscape architect, whom Friends of the Parks calls one of the most successful landscape architects in Chicago. Any perspectives on any of those?
Well, they're all very intelligent people. Let's start with the obvious. They're all very successful people, another obvious point. But the mere fact that they have been appointed to a commission by the mayor of Chicago means that they have been essentially screened to make sure that they won't cause trouble for the mayor of the city of Chicago. And I, David, don't know how this is done. This is one of my great abiding interests. You know, what questions are asked? How are they vetted? I do know this, that since I moved to Chicago in 1981, and I've been watching mayoral boards, with the exception of those years when Harold Washington ruled, which are the golden age of Chicago democracy, we've essentially had rubber stamp boards that, regardless of what the issue is, do what the mayor wants. Every now and then, there's a bit of a deviation. There could be 1 or 2 commissioners who actually vote against the mayor. And for years, Marion Dupre, I believe, Leon Dupre's wife, the great alderman, was on this commission, and she would vote her conscience. I'm not sure who put her on it, but once she was on, no one was going to take her off just out of respect to her. But by and large, commission members do as told or wait to be told. So why do they tolerate this? I think that's one of the great questions that students of Chicago democracy or political government should ask. Why do any of us act like robots and do
it? Especially given that they have 4-year terms.
Especially given the fact that they're professionals who earn nice salaries and are not dependent, presumably, on the mayor for paying their rent. And should be free as citizens of a free country where we have First Amendment rights to say what we want, to speak their minds. Why do any of us fall in line? I don't know. It's a larger question. In the case of the Landmark Commission, it's been a while since I've done a landmark story. I used to love doing them. Dave, this is in the years, the O's, before you and I started this great partnership. And I was always fascinated by the flexibility that the city's landmark people had when it came to judging a building's status in terms of landmarking. And it was generally that flexibility was determined by the clout of the person who owned it, by the attitude the mayor daily had toward the owner, by the needs of whatever developer wanted to tear it down. You know, in most instances, it's not so much that this, like, there's an objective analysis of the worth of a property, more like there's a determination made to support whatever they were going to do from the beginning. And so that's generally how landmarking works in the city of Chicago.
You said flexibility. Some might say that that's a euphemism for arbitrariness.
Yes, flexibility, yes.
Any insights on any of these particular commissioners?
Well, I know that Houlihan was one of my favorite elected officials when he was the Cook County Assessor.
So not a prime candidate for becoming a rubber stamp.
Actually, I have to disagree with you there. When I say he was one of my favorite, I find him a very engaging, smart, fun guy to talk to, particularly off the record. He probably would not care that I'm going to reveal what I'm about to reveal. He does a very funny imitation of Mayor Daley, Baby Daley, the one that just retired, not the older Daley. And maybe someday we'll have him on and he'll do it for us.
I hope to hear that.
I've had a few conversations with him over the year about the TIF program, and he had some great insights on it. But he did not get to be the Cook County Assessor for all those years by defying Mayor Daley. In fact, Houlihan had this one moment in the O's where, I think it was about 03, I don't know, all the years come together, where Mayor Daley decided that Houlihan was his chief threat politically to his reign and his rule. So he started going around denouncing Houlihan. And so that put Houlihan sort of in the position of trying to reassure the mayor that he was not going to run against him. So there was no need to denounce him.
So it was preemptive on the part of the mayor.
Yes. The issue was, of course, the assessment of property. As property assessments went up, people's property taxes went up. And Houlihan, as the public official in charge of assessing property and then sending the bill, notifying people of their assessment, was getting all the heat. And so he became a champion of putting in exemptions for homeowners that would lower the amount they pay relative to business owners of property.
So Daley felt threatened by this populism.
Yes, there were suddenly people all out of the city were championing Houlihan and thanking him for acting on their behalf. And Daley didn't know what to make of this. So he was, at one hand, trying to denounce Houlihan for raising taxes while at the same time trying to steal the issue Houlihan was sort of championing. Anyway, he did that very successfully, and he's a great guy. He's very gregarious. Emmanuel probably put him on there just to have him around every now and then to do those Mayor Daley imitations.
What about some of these other folks?
Well, Leon, if my memory serves me correctly, was also one of my favorite commissions is the Community Development Commission, which of course is the rubber stamp that approves TIF deals and TIF districts themselves. That has to be, I think, the most rubber stamp body in the city of Chicago. They pretty much do whatever, whatever the planning department, whatever it used to be called the planning department, now it's called the Housing and Economic Development Department. Anyway, whatever they're told on TIFs without anything remotely resembling a serious question being asked. So I guess this is sort of promotion to be moved from that body to this body.
When was he on the CDC?
I believe in the O's. To me, the people who sit on these commissions are replaceable parts. You know, they're, again, successful, generally well-connected professionals whose firms would never dare to raise a fuss and jump aboard whatever bandwagon the mayor is leading. So it's hard for me to take any commissioner of any commission seriously, because with the exception of the glory years of democracy under the Washington regime, they pretty much don't do anything.
Well, a couple of these people, though, based on their experience, I would think would be advocates for landmarks as opposed to rubber stamps. For example, Mr. Baird, the chairman of Baird and Warner, is an emeritus director of the Trust for Public Land, which retains land that is going to be sold off privately so it can be used for the public. And it has a pretty good reputation in landmark circles, I think. And Marianne Smith, former 48th Ward alderman, carved out a reputation for herself as being someone very concerned with sustainable growth and energy and development. So there are at least two of those people. I think most people would look at their portfolio and say, I wouldn't expect them to be rubber stamps.
I'm going to have to disagree with you briefly. What you're describing is what I was alluding to earlier. They're all intelligent people. They're all complicated people in that they're capable of forming different opinions based on the circumstances put in front of them. But not one of them on that board, and as far as I know, has a reputation for it being sort of an independent voice that would challenge authority. I'll give you an exception that people are looking at with great hope. David Hoffman, who was the former inspector general of the city of Chicago and whose job as inspector general was to investigate all the city entities for evidence of malfeasance or really bad deals. He spoke out against the parking meter deal, was one of the first public officials to do so, and as a result, launched a political career that almost got him the U.S. Senate seat, probably should have got him the U.S. Senate seat. He's now on the trust fund.
The mayor's infrastructure trust
yes,
fund.
Yes, which is the latest cockamamie scam concocted by a Chicago mayor. From the outset, he has voiced his determination to vote against deals that he does not believe are in the best interest of Chicago. I don't know anybody that I can think of who's joined a board in the last 10 years or so, since I've been really following this stuff closely, who came to the board with the same proclamation. It's almost like he had to proclaim his independence from the mayor who put him on the board. I can't think of anybody, definitely not in the school board.
Do you believe him?
Well, I'm watching him, hoping for the best. That's a whole other issue, you know, the deals that that group comes up with. But in terms of the Landmark Commission, when I look at that names, Houlihan stands out as the only one who might bolt from the mayor. He certainly created his own political identity, as I was alluding to earlier on the issue of homeowner exemption, and rankled the last mayor. So he has the potential. But by and large, what I'm talking about is that contrarian streak that you and I have, for instance, or at least I have. I presume you have it as well.
It rubs off.
That contrarian streak that would enable them to take a public stand against the mayor. I don't see it evidenced there. And again, I think really in this particular case, they're all waiting for the mayor to weigh in. That's the unique thing about this particular story. The city's holding off a discussion on the bedrock issue of whether it's in the public interest to preserve this building until they hear from the mayor as to whether he wants to preserve it. So you have to wonder if we'll ever have an honest discussion of whether it's in the public's interest to preserve this building. Because maybe upon great investigation, we will determine that no, it's not in the public's interest. You know, if you tell Northwestern University that they cannot demolish their property, then chances are Northwestern University will come back to the city of Chicago and say, all right, if you're putting a limitation on what we can use this property for, we demand some form of compensation, which means either a big tax break or a TIF subsidy that will enable them to convert the building into some other use. So there's a public expense for saving this building. So maybe upon review, the city of Chicago will determine whatever that public expense is too much for this building. So go ahead, tear it down.
The price is too high.
Yeah, the price is too high. We're not even having anything like that kind of discussion.
And arguably, the commission would be the forum for that discussion, but they won't have it.
No, the commission would not be the forum to discuss whether the public cost of saving the building merits saving it. That would be something that the city council would discuss, speaking of rubber stamp bodies.
But as far as having the conversation about what is the value of the building,
yes,
what would it take?
A discussion about what is the public value of that building in terms of its historical significance.
Where else but in the commission?
The very commission that should be doing it. It should have done it about a year ago so that our analysis of whether we want to save this building would be enlightened by it. Instead, what they've done is put aside that issue, hoping that somehow or other a deal will be cut that will either kill the building, in which the preservationists walk away from it, or where Northwestern will decide to save the building, presumably with a healthy subsidy. And so here we are a year later. We still haven't resolved this dispute. It's become sort of an important symbol in the preservationist community. That's what I was describing in the article. It seems like a week doesn't go by without somebody weighing in on it. Paul Goldberger, the New York Times architect critic, just wrote an article, the former New York Times critic, wrote an article for, I think it was Vanity Fair.
So now we're in the position of waiting to see which way the mayoral wind is blowing.
Right. It's typical Chicago. Whatever decision made will be made behind closed doors, and it'll be political calculations, et cetera, et cetera.
So, the Chicago way.
Yes. To quote Dave Mamet.
On that note, Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for coming here, David.
If you'd like to hear more of our interviews, go to MrRadio.org, where you'll find instructions on how to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a single interview. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.